Good evening. We're in for a real treat. We're going to be in conversation with composer, arranger, and pianist Bill Cunliffe. Many of you will remember Bill Cunliffe and his stay here in Cincinnati in southwestern Ohio. He was the pianist in one of the finest piano trios to come out of Cincinnati, the Greenwich Trio, with, of course, Bill Cunliffe piano, Jim Anderson bass, and Art Gore drums. The house band at the Greenwich Tavern for many years, beginning, I think, in the mid-1980s. Well, we're just going to get right into the conversation here because Bill has had a very long and varied career. So, Bill Cunliffe, welcome.
Hi, Ron.
I tell you what, man, we've got a lot to talk about. And first and foremost, we want to let people know that Bill Cunliffe will be inducted into the Cincinnati Jazz Hall of Fame. Bill, congratulations on your induction into the Cincinnati Jazz Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Ron. It's really exciting. I feel like even though I grew up in Boston, Cincinnati is my jazz roots, my first jazz home, and I cherish it very, very much. I actually lived in Dayton for 3 years. I taught at Central State University. We thought of Cincinnati as the big city. I would come over the hill and see those skyscrapers and feel like, yeah, this is it. I've had so many good memories in the Midwest. It's still, I think, a really great place to play the music because it's got a swing, and with the educational institutions now, there's a more creative bent starting to happen. So many great, great jazz players come out of the Midwest.
Yeah, and I know that, of course, you work with one of the great Midwestern jazz musicians, Jeff Hamilton, the drummer, and have worked with he and John Clayton and in the Clayton-Hamilton big band for a number of years. It's interesting, Lee Hay and I kind of forgot that you were in residence with that big band for about 10 years.
That's right. In fact, Jeff was kind of one of the reasons I moved out to L.A. because I was a big fan of the Ray Brown Trio with Gene Harris and Jeff. And they came through and they played Jilly. And I went to Jilly's all the time to hear music. And I went up to Jeff and I was telling him that I was thinking of moving to L.A. And he was like, well, if you do, give me a call. He gave me his card and I called him. And then they called me and asked me to do some gigs with him, and then I joined the big band. It was a really great thing because John, you know, is a real hero for me in so many ways as a composer, as an arranger, because I do a lot of arranging. So it was really a treat to do that with him.
Talking about your arranging abilities, you won a Grammy Award for one of your arrangements, right?
Yeah. You know, Oscar Peterson always kind of trots back into the story. It was a record produced for a very fine piano player named Marian Petrescu, who lives in Finland, and he's really coming out of the Oscar Peterson School of piano playing. I was commissioned to do an album of Oscar Peterson tribute style arrangements for him, and I suggested that we ought to do West Side Story. And the record company owner said, oh, that's way too long, we can't do it. And I'm like, why don't we do it as a 15-minute sort of a concert overture, you know? Because when I work with Buddy Rich, he had these things that he would do at the end. He had a West Side Story, and he had a thing written by Bob Minter called Good News. They were these epic things with big drum solos and very exciting, and they bordered on concert music. They were, you know, just kind of all-encompassing. And so I thought that that would be great for this record, and turned out to be the case.
Hey, you know, you mentioned that you grew up in the Boston area. In the early 70s, I was the assistant manager at the jazz workshop, Paul's Mall, on Boylston Street.
Well, I went in there many times, Ron. You probably tried to kick me out of there once because I didn't have ID. Yeah, I think I got there just a couple of times. The one that really resonates with me was Les McCann and Eddie Harris, Swiss Movement record. And I'm a big fan of Eddie Harris, who I got to play with a lot at the Greenwich Tavern. The Greenwich was just unbelievable, the amount of talent. Well, Art Gore, you know, he lived in New York for a long time, so he knew all the cats. And I knew a few of the guys, so between us and Jerry Teresis, who was kind of the founding figure of it, we got everybody to come through, from Junior Cook to Art Blakey to Bobby Watson, Bob Minter, Bob Berg, Joe Henderson, Woody Shaw, James Moody. It was unbelievable. Such a fantastic experience. I was very fortunate. And I was very privileged to teach at Central State University in Xenia for a few years. I really understood right away, you know, jazz gets very academic in these colleges and universities. And it sometimes gets separated from the fact that jazz is a fusion of European and African-American music. And without the African-American component, to me, it's not really jazz. I've been lucky enough to have been exposed to that culture to really kind of take in what it's about. You know, the spontaneity, the honesty, the attention to rhythmic counterpoint, just the whole aspect of it. And of course, when I first moved to Cincinnati, I lived in East Walnut Hills, which is just down the street from the Greenwich. You know, Walnut Hills was a pretty rough neighborhood. I mean, my car got broken into a couple of times and blah, blah, blah. But I met some really, really great folks. There was a great photographer named Lou Figgs who used to come in all the time. And he was a real fan of the music. And he gave me this beautiful, beautiful picture, me and Jim Anderson with Art Blakey. And the Greenwich Tavern had this weird kind of flower arrangement on the bar that looked like a spewing of riches of, it was kind of like a fountain. The picture that Lou took, Art Blakey is standing there, and the flowers and all of the energy is just spouting out of his head. It's just an amazing.
Then I do remember Lou Figgs as well. You're now a professor at Cal State Fullerton. How long have you been that now?
This is my 13th year. I got into education in my late 40s. I had done a bunch of gigs with a great, great young trumpet player named Terrell Stafford. And he asked me to consider taking a teaching gig in Philadelphia. And being from Boston, you know, Ben Franklin had the two hometowns, Philadelphia and Boston. So I was intrigued by Philly. So I spent 3 years in Philadelphia. I really enjoyed it. Again, that whole African-American sensibility. I had some really great gigs there. Got to play with Jimmy Cobb, among other people. Pretty incredible. But then the sun beckoned again. You know, once you live in L.A., it's kind of hard to leave it permanently. So yeah. The gig came up at Fullerton, and I moved back.
You know, many years ago, 1989, you won the Thelonious Monk Prize.
That's right, yeah. I have to share you a story, though. The day I realized I had to leave Cincinnati. And it actually wasn't really the situation. It was more just me. And the situation just kind of took form. I had this great gig, actually. I really enjoyed it. I was playing duo pianos at the Omni Netherland Plaza with Randy Villars, great piano player. And we were playing at these duo pianos there. And the manager, who was a young lady, you know, kind of new to the business, we were having a little too much fun, I think, you know, because we were supposed to play music for dinner, but we always grinded it up. Yeah. We always played too much stuff. And she came up to me. She said, "If you guys don't be quiet, I'm going to close these pianos down." So I went into the Mickey Mouse theme. And she was actually musically pretty astute. She came up to me. She said, "Oh, really? That's how you feel about it."
Oh.
I got a call from the agent the next day. What you did the other day was very improper, very disrespectful. I'm going to have to ask you to submit your notice. They fired me on the spot. That was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. But, you know, you have to try other things. You know, as much as I love Cincinnati, I really needed to give something else a shot. I was a young guy. It was time to sprout wings a little bit.
You have had a long and varied career, and hey, you know, you turn lemons into lemonade there.
Right, right.
Hey, you want to tell us about your most recent recordings?
Well, sure. The newest one was produced by a gentleman in Hawaii. I had a gig at a club in Hawaii called Jazz Minds about a year and a half ago. And this gentleman came up to me and he said, "I'm going to have you do a record." And I said, great. He said, I want you to use these guys. And it's a fellow named Bruce Hamada, who for years has been the number one bass player in the Hawaiian Islands. And a drummer named Daryl Pellegrini, who's an ex-New Yorker, played with a Vanguard band, played with everybody in New York. And we had a great synchronicity. So we did an album together, and it came out on my record label, Meter Records. You can see clips on YouTube of three or four of the tunes. So type Sunrise Over Molokai, and you'll find it.
Sounds great. That's Bill Cunliffe, Sunrise Over Molokai. We've been in a conversation with pianist, arranger, and composer Bill Cunliffe. All our best. Thanks a million, man.
Thank you, Ron.
For more information about Bill and the Cincinnati Jazz Hall of Fame, visit us at wvxu.org. I'm Ron Esposito.